I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm going to heaven.
Right.
I'm glad I know that I'm going to heaven no matter what happens in this world.
Amen.
I'm glad that Jesus left His home in heaven to die for me.
Amen.
And I want you to be glad. I want you to learn that Christ is alive even when you're not in church. And it ought to be a lifestyle, not a couple hours a week thing that we do.
That's right.
If it became a lifestyle, then church wouldn't be anything but a blessing to you. You would take it more seriously. You would cherish it more sincerely. I'm going to read to you some well-known verses this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand, please. In John chapter 3, if you would follow along with me there. Teenagers there on the third row, fourth row. I'm going to ask you to move up here to the second row, please. All you three right there. You sit front row, second row. These two rows right here. Thank you very much. I appreciate you doing that.
Amen.
Just to keep you honest, so you can listen.
Amen.
All right, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, he didn't even answer his question. He said, Nicodemus, you're looking for miracles, you're looking for signs, you're looking for power, you want to do something like I'm doing. He says, Nicodemus, let's just cut straight to the chase. You need to be saved before you worry about anything else.
Amen.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
Amen.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Boy, there's so much preaching through here. What Jesus is saying in verse 8, that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. In other words, what he's saying is, Christians, you may not be able to see their hearts. You may not be able to see whether they're saved in their hearts or not, but you'll see the results of their lives.
Amen.
The wind blows, and you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it starts or where it's going, but you know, hey, it's blowing those leaves. It's making a difference.
Amen.
Christians, does your life make a difference at all? Nicodemus answered and said to them, how can these things be? Kind of like what you're thinking right now. How can all this be true? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me leave off reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray for your help this morning. I thank you, God, for Jesus. And Lord, I know that your power is greater than any power on this earth. I know, God, that your blood has all the power still today to cleanse the filthiest, wicked, most wicked heart. And Lord, today I plead and claim and beg, God, for the power of that blood, Father, to flow through me, through your Holy Spirit, through your word, God, through this place. Lord, there are sinners here. There are lost souls sitting here, bound in chains of darkness and sin and death, miserable and destruction. Father, they need to be saved. They need to be liberated, God. They need to be made free. God, I pray your power would fall on this place. Lord, not because of me. Oh, God, I pray that Brother Fogg would disappear, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would take full control of this message this morning. I pray these children, these teenagers would sit still and they would listen. I pray, oh, God, please, that our eyes would stay open, our ears would stay open, our hearts would stay tender, and, Lord, hungry for truth and righteousness this morning. Oh, God, please work as only you can. I beg you, Lord, to bind the devil, bind the strong man, Lord. There are children of his here today that you want to save, that you want to rescue out of his old filthy slave camp of sin. And Lord, I pray that you would bind him now so that your spirit can release him this morning. Lord, do your work, I pray. Help us this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach on John 3:16. I read the whole 15 verses leading up to it on purpose because you need to hear more of the Word of God. Amen. We all do. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But as I was gone last week, and I missed you, by the way, I'm not going to ask you to tell me whether you missed me or not. I'm telling you I missed you. And I'm happy to be home. A little bit tired. But as I was preparing and praying, God gave us a good revival meeting there. The preacher was helped, and that was the most important thing. And I began to pray, and I began to search the scriptures and beg God to give me what he wanted for his people today, you, now that I'm home. And I just want you to know something, just simple thoughts this morning that have changed the world. John 3:16. I thought, Father, everybody knows that verse. I thought, Lord, everybody's heard that verse. That verse is on the backs of buses and billboards and then everybody's, on refrigerators. And no, listen to me this morning. Can we kind of look at it anew this morning? Can we kind of refresh our hearts for a few minutes this morning? I'd ask you to understand something as we get into the message. Now, don't forget that I read to you the first 15 verses leading up to this. It's Jesus that's speaking here, and he's still speaking to Nicodemus. He's still talking to Nicodemus. He's still explaining to Nicodemus what was different about him.
Amen.
Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "What is it about you that's different? We know thou art a teacher from God." He said, "We know there's something in you or about you or on you or around you that is from God. What is it?" Because a ruler of the Jews was a man who was very educated, a man who knew the Bible, a man who knew the law and the Judeo customs and rituals, a man who knew a religion, if you will. But this was a man who saw Jesus and did not know what to think. Did not know what to think. You see, he came to him by night because he was afraid somebody else might see him. He was what you might call, and the Bible does call, a secret disciple, one who did not want anyone else to know. But in the end, listen to me, in the end, he was a part of getting Jesus off the cross and burying Jesus in that old tomb. Nicodemus was a man who got saved. But understand something here today. The fact of the matter is, he came to Jesus to find out first when you come to the house of God, there's nothing in this world that you need to be thinking about other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you come to the house of God, at least this church anyway, I'm not saying that this is the only church in town, but I do believe that this church is God's church. I do believe that God has built this church on the foundation and the chief cornerstone that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I get excited about the Bible. I still get all worked up about Jesus Christ because He is the difference.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He's the difference. Not what you think, not what you feel, not what everybody else has told you, but Jesus Christ is the difference.
Amen.
Right, Andrea? I heard you got saved last week.
Amen.
And then yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe Friday, anyway, she lives next door. And they have a trampoline in their backyard, and she's jumping up and down on the trampoline talking to us over the fence. And she's spitting out parts of her sentence at a time, one at a time. Excuse me. And she says, "Hey, Samuel, I got saved last week." Glory. She's more excited about it than most of us.
All right, come on, baby. Amen.
She's still excited about it. She ain't stopped smiling. I said, "Did you tell your mom and dad?" She said, "I sure did."
Amen. That's good.
And what they say? They said, "That's great. You got to keep going down to that church." I said, "Yeah, you do."
Amen.
But it was all because of Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
It's because of Jesus. Jesus is speaking here in verse 16, speaking to Nicodemus. Religion has no idea what the love of God is. Religion is works that you do to try to earn God's favor. Religion is works that we do, or I used to do, because we feared God's wrath. So we would do things to try to make ourselves at peace with God, so to speak. And that's what Nicodemus' life was all about. It was all about works. It was all about law. It was all about physical idolatry and doing things that he could do. And when he saw Jesus, he saw grace. He saw the love of God.
Amen. Amen.
He saw the power of God. He saw the authority that God had given his son, Jesus Christ. And he came to him and he said, "What is different about you?" And he begins to go through the discourse on being born again. He begins to go through telling him that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And he begins to tell him that you are nothing but a sinner dressed up in a religious gown. And until you are born of the Spirit of God, you can have no part of God or especially His kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
But he still says, "I don't get it. How can these things be? How can these things be? I've been in church my whole life."
Yep.
That's what he's saying.
Yep.
"I've been studying the law my whole life. I've heard about God. I know about God. But you're telling me I'm not even going to get to see His kingdom?
Well,
how can these things be?" And then he begins to tell them, verse 11, "You've been speaking that which you," he says, "we speak that what we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness." He says, "If I told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" He says, "I'm trying to explain to you something, but you're of the earth still. You don't have any heavenly mindedness. You don't have any Spirit of God in you. You're not understanding the truth. That's how you're still confused. Because I'm telling you, I tell you earthly things in parables, you don't understand them. I tell you heavenly things in simple truth, black and white, if you will, and you don't understand them." And then he goes to the Old Testament And he gives him something that he can understand. He says, as Moses in verse 14 lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then Nicodemus remembered, because he knew the story. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Bible. He was a ruler of the Jews. And Nicodemus understood there was no more questions after this. He says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Nicodemus had no more questions. Amen. Jesus went on to describe condemnation and light and darkness. But Jesus had no more questions from Nicodemus. Nicodemus did not ask any more questions because it was plain as day. God loved the world, so God did something about their sin condition.
Yeah, man. That's right.
He said, let me boil it down for you real bottom shelf here, Nicodemus, as much as I can. God loves you.
Amen.
I don't think Jesus was apologizing for the former discourse on being born again at all. I think Jesus was just elaborating a little bit. Like I said, trying to get it down to where the ruler of the Jews could understand it and you and me can understand it.
Yes, sir.
God loves you.
Amen.
See, we're talking about the supreme God in heaven. We're talking about not just a God. We're talking about the one and only living God in heaven. The creator of all things that exist. He is God. He is the greatest. He is the highest. He is the utmost. He is the supreme God in heaven. And Jesus is speaking of that God when he speaks to Nicodemus. And he's speaking of that God when he speaks to you and to me. And this book is all about the Word is God. The love is of God. Salvation is from God. And Jesus says, let me help you understand something, Nicodemus. God, that God, loves you.
Amen.
Loves you. Let me break down John 3:16. It's been broken down so many times. But I promise you, I didn't get this out of a book other than the Bible. You can find outlines on John 3:16 till Jesus comes. They're everywhere. Let me give you another one. First of all, here we look at the supreme God's duty. His duty. You see, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His duty, can I say something to you? The only thing that demanded God do what he did was his own word. He had already prophesied in the Old Testament that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. He had already prophesied that in the Old Testament, so he had, by duty, to complete his word. He had to fulfill his own word. God is bound by his word. He cannot lie. It's impossible.
That's right.
So he had a duty to you and to me. When he prophesied, when he said way back in the Garden of Eden that the serpent would bruise his son's heel, but he would bruise the serpent's head, he was prophesying, he was foretelling you and me that one day God would send his only begotten Son. He was bound by his own word to do what he said. He had a duty to keep his word. But better than that, he had a desire, listen to me, to reconcile his creation unto himself. He was duty bound, but he also had a heart's desire to reconcile your wicked, filthy, God-forsaken, sinful, evil heart back unto Him.
Amen.
Because you were so far, we were so far removed from God. We had zero hope. We were at enmity against God. We were against God. Our lives were completely opposed to everything that was of God. And God's desire was not that we be cast into a lake of fire. God's duty was, yes, to keep His word, but His duty, He gave His word for a reason, because His desire was to reconcile His creation unto Himself. His desire was to make us one again. His desire was to bring us back unto Himself. His desire was to go out into the wilderness and find the little lost sheep and put them on His shoulders, amen, and carry them back to the fold where they could rejoice together.
Amen. That's right.
I got saved, Samuel.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
His desire was to reconcile. You know what it means to reconcile? It means to fix that which was broken. It means to take a broken relationship and put it back together.
Amen.
That was His desire. I'm talking about the supreme God in heaven. He had a duty, yes. He had a duty to keep His word. But it was out of desire to reconcile you unto Himself.
Amen.
That He gave His word in the first place. And then He had also, there was a donation that He made. In order, listen now, in order to keep His word, in order to fulfill His desire, listen now, He had to make a donation. He had to give His only begotten Son.
Amen.
There's no other way. Your sin had to be paid for. My sin had to be atoned for. You see, anyone else could have died, but it wouldn't have done us any good. It wouldn't have done us any good. Because anybody else that would have died was a sinner, born in sin, conceived in iniquity, for all eternity, hell bound just like you and me were.
Amen.
Jesus, the very Son of God, was the gift of God. The Bible says He loved, yes, He loved, that was His desire. His duty was, He had to fulfill His word. His desire was, I love them. I want to reconcile them back to myself. So I know I must make this donation, His only, His best, His one and only begotten Son.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The Father. Then we look at the Son. It's interesting to me how Jesus is the one speaking these words. He's saying, that's my God, that's my Father. But then He's speaking of Himself in third person. He's saying, the only begotten Son, His only begotten Son. I wonder if He went like this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
That's right. That's good. Amen.
See, the Son came. He also had a duty to obey His Father. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. He came as a Son. Listen now. And He was going to be obedient to His Father. That was His duty. Children, listen to me. That's still your duty as a child.
Amen.
To be obedient to your parents.
Amen.
And to the authority in your life. Amen, preacher. Thank you. You could learn from John 3:16. Still.
That's right.
It's still children's duty to be obedient to their parents. You understand? He had a duty. He said, the Father, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He's saying, what He's saying is, now it's my duty. It's just taken for granted. I must obey my Father. It's His duty. But I want you to understand something. It was also His desire to glorify His Father. How do I know that? Oh, because I know Jesus. Why don't you?
Come on now.
Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him.
Amen.
Jesus said, when thou prayest, pray in such a manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means glorified, magnified, and honored be thy name. He said in John 17, he said, I have glorified thy name on the earth. That was his desire, to glorify his heavenly Father. To glorify, that means to make God be and look like God is. That means to let his life portray who God really is. What does it mean to glorify God? It means to make God look good. Now listen, does God ever look bad? No. But boy, we sure make him look bad, don't we?
Yes, right.
Don't we?
Amen.
See, he could have said, I'm the only begotten of the Father. I have come to save your soul. Who's he glorifying? Himself. Instead he said, God so loved the world.
Yep. Amen.
His desire was to glorify God. He had a duty to obey. And so do I. And so do you. But listen, he had a desire to glorify.
Amen.
I want him to look good. I want him to get the credit for this. That's what he's saying. God so loved the world. God's the one doing this, Nicodemus. Not me. Stop looking at me. It's God's will. It's God's plan. It's God's power. It's God's only plan of salvation. It's God's method. It's God that set forth this whole thing from the beginning of time. It's God that deserves the glory.
Amen.
His duty was to obey his Father. His desire, however, was to glorify his Father. I want you to understand something, though. He had to make a donation, too. He said, God so loved the world that he gave me. I'm here as a gift for you. If I'm going to obey, if I'm going to glorify, then I must give myself for you. I'm not talking about someone on the street, some alcoholic, some drug addict. I'm talking about Jesus saying, my Father has sent me to give myself for you. He had a duty, yes. He had a desire, yes. But in order to fulfill that duty, in order for his desires to become reality, he had to make a donation. His only, his life, his blood, himself. His blood. His life. Himself. The third part of this verse, we've seen the supreme God's duty, desire, and donation. The Son's duty, desire, and donation. Now I want to talk to you for a minute about the sinner. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, notice now, should not perish. He's talking about sinners.
Amen.
Sinners. Whosoever. That whosoever includes you and me.
Amen.
That whosoever included you and me. That whosoever had me in mind. Amen.
Amen.
That whosoever, listen now, was a sinner who was perishing in sin.
Amen.
Or else he would have never said it. He would have never said, whosoever should believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a sinner's duty here too. You know what the sinner's duty is? Didn't have one. Ha! Tricked you. The sinner's duty, God didn't give you a duty here. You get to choose. You get to choose to perish in hell or have everlasting life. See, God didn't give you a duty as a sinner. He wanted you to choose.
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Religion says, you gotta. Church says, you gotta. You gotta, you gotta, you gotta, and it's all duty. And you become a miserable robot.
Amen.
But God says, oh no, 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 there's no duty here.
Yeah.
I'm keeping my duty. My son's keeping his duty. But you do whatever you want.
That's
you can perish in hell if you want to. I love you. Jesus came to die for you.
Yeah.
I've given my only son. He's given his only life. He's given his blood. And you, but you don't have a duty. You do what you want to do. You don't have to do anything. You can sit there. You can endure the message. You can turn around and look at the clock. You don't have to do anything. But aren't you glad God's not like you?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Aren't you glad Jesus ain't like us?
Come on now. Thank you.
I'm preaching a little bit. Yeah, I am.
It's good.
We need it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
She's still smiling at me. Ha. Huh? She's still happy she's saved.
Yep. Amen.
Aren't you glad that God kept His duty?
That's right.
Did His part?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad Jesus did His part?
Amen.
Now listen, aren't you glad? He gives you a choice. Sometimes you say, well, sometimes I wish I just didn't. No, you don't. You need to realize God is perfect. His plan is perfect. If He would have made you accept Jesus Christ, you'd be belly aching every day of your life. I wish I could go do. I wish I could be. I wish I. How do I know? Because we already do.
Yep. Come on.
God's love says you choose.
Amen.
I mean, can you imagine telling your wife or your husband, your spouse, you're going to marry me or else? Wow, that's going to be a wonderful wedding, wonderful marriage, wonderful relationship. What a blessing that would be, wouldn't it? Well, I can't wait to go visit so-and-so. Well, that would be miserable people, the most miserable marriage in the world. And by the way, how long do you think that would last? Before a gun was pulled out. You know, thank you. God kept His part. Jesus kept His part. But He says, you sinners, you can perish or you can have everlasting life.
Amen.
You know what's funny, not funny, but what's interesting is that the desire of the sinner was also in God's mind. I'm going to read to you a verse. Just listen. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 10. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. God said, listen now. God said, you don't have a duty here. I'm going to keep my word. Jesus is going to finish His work. But you can do whatever you want. You can choose to perish in hell. You can choose to have the flames of hell lap over your body and never perish. Never really, the worm never dies. The flame is never extinguished and you can burn forever and ever, day and night for all eternity. Or you can have everlasting peace, joy, and bliss in heaven. You can choose, but you have a choice. The fact is though, I know what your desire is. Your desire is evil.
Come on, preacher.
The reason people choose perishing because they want evil.
Yep, that's right.
Because He says in the next verse, next couple of verses, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
He says, you don't have a duty here. You do what you want. But I know what your desire is. Your desire is evil. We need to be real careful, Christians, Because our flesh still desires evil.
Amen.
Wake up now, listen to me.
Amen.
I don't know how long you've been saved. I don't know if you are saved. But that old nasty flesh of yours still desires evil.
Amen.
So does mine.
Yes, sir.
So does mine. Amen. That's why this verse ought to help you a little bit. To remind us how much God loves us.
Amen.
To remind us how much He desired to save us. To remind us how much He has given so that we could be saved. To remind us what Jesus went through. To remind us the desire of Christ was to glorify God. To remind us that He finished His work, amen? And that now we can be reconciled unto our Heavenly Father. But all of that being said, you still have a choice. But your desire is evil. See, right now, the only reason that you're thinking, oh man, I don't know, should I get saved? Or, man, I don't know, wow, oh, Lord, the Holy Spirit, man, my heart is about to break. Oh, I don't think I can do this. Oh no, what? The only reason you're debating it is because you want to keep sinning.
Right.
Quit fighting it. That's the only reason. You like evil. That's what the Bible says. We like evil. Amen. And that, you're not going to find many churches tell you that, but so what? God says it. And that's what we need to hear. The desire of every sinner, evil. It's amazing. We wake up after it beats us up, after it knocks us down, after it stabs us a few times in the back, after it breaks our heart, breaks our necks, breaks our back. We wake up and we go stumbling around looking for it again. Where is it again? I can't. Give me some more evil.
Come on, preacher.
God's love says, what are you doing? Why do you keep missing church? Why do you keep leaving your Bible closed on the shelf? When I'm screaming, I can help you.
Amen.
I have the power.
Amen.
Why do you stay up all night on Saturday night when you should be resting so that you could be awake for church?
Amen.
God says, here's my love. Here's my power. Here's my grace. Here's my son. Here's my desire. I've given everything. Why? What about you? What's wrong with you? Here's what's wrong. Your desire is evil.
Amen. Amen.
So is mine. As a matter of fact, you probably won't find this outline on John 3:16 anywhere. But it's Bible.
Amen. That's right.
We got the sinner's duty. You don't have one. Whatever you want to do. Your desire is evil. Your donation? Well, if you so choose everlasting life, the only donation God will accept is your heart.
Amen. That's good.
Your heart. Oh, don't come up here and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But do I have to quit sinning? No, you don't have to. You can't quit sinning. No, you can't quit. But you do. God wants you to have a heart that desires to quit sin. A repentant heart. A contrite spirit where you say, I'm tired of evil.
Amen.
I'm sick of that filthy lifestyle. I'm tired of all the pain. I'm tired of all the sorrow. I'm tired of all the guilt. I'm tired of all the shame. I'm tired of it. I want Jesus. I want everlasting life. Here I am, God. Take my heart. I give it to you with all my heart. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Otherwise, God knows it ain't real. Otherwise, God knows it ain't going to change anything.
Oh, no.
Otherwise, God knows it's just a lip service.
Yep.
When I got married, I didn't just say I do with my lips. I said I do with my heart.
Amen.
Some of you are thinking you got saved because you said a prayer, but ain't nothing changed in your life. Ain't nothing, no changes at all. That when listed, there's no fruit, there's no evidence, there's nothing but miserable.
Amen.
just miserable. I've got to go to church again. That's not Christianity. That's not salvation.
Amen. Amen.
You have a choice. I know what your desire is, and so does God. But if you're tired of that evil, you can come to this old-fashioned altar and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Or you can leave just like you came in. God so loved the world. Not with the love you see on TV. Love tells you the truth. Love tells you that you're perishing. But aren't you glad somebody told you the truth?
Amen. Amen.
Because now you can get to know God real and like He really wants you to. You say, preacher, I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. No one's looking around.